Now, 557 people in the Republic of Ireland are now infected with coronavirus. The number jumped by 191 confirmed cases in the latest figures released yesterday, with five or fewer of those cases recorded in Clare in total. The overall figure jumped by 52% in just 24 hours, and two women and one man have also died from COVID-19. Locally, there were just four people on trolleys at University Hospital Limerick as people steer clear of the country's hospitals. Elective procedures have also been cancelled at the Dura-Dyle facility, and the staff are being relocated to help tackle an expected increase in patient presenting. I'm joined on the line this morning by Colette Cowan, who is CEO of UL Hospitals Group, and by Dr. Dennis O'Keefe, consultant haematologist and clinical director of diagnostics with UL Hospitals Group. You're both very welcome to the programme this morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Colette. If we can start with yourself first and foremost. How are you coping down there? You've implemented some fairly strict and serious measures because of the current health pandemic. What exactly is happening in UHL this morning? In terms of trolley numbers, first of all, maybe, I know that they're down significantly in recent days.
Yeah, in the last 2 weeks, our trolley numbers have been down, and really that tells the story that we've been telling for a long number of months, that capacity, once we have capacity, we can actually make sure that we use or transfer our patients to the beds. So, for example, we cancelled all our elective surgery and our outpatients, so the demand from that end for beds fell away. Therefore, patients in ED can get to those beds. So it's a capacity issue, and that is why we have no trolleys at the moment in UHL.
And are there people intentionally, do you know, staying away because maybe they've realised I'm not sick enough to go to the ED, or maybe they're frightened that they'll, you know, and there's a lot of misinformation out there, of course, they might be concerned they'll pick up the virus as well. Are they factors, do you think?
And there is a lot of misinformation out there, but looking at our emergency department, our activity is actually busy with sick people coming in still to the hospital group. So it isn't that we've seen a big fall off in attendances at all, actually. However, I'd say some people may be staying away, but we would encourage people who are sick, of course, to come into the hospital if they require treatment. Our staff are highly skilled and trained to deal with all cases that come in, and be ready also for COVID-19.
Of course, the other message going out is to ring ahead or ring your GP, get guidance from there, first of all. And that's still, people just shouldn't turn up on spec because they don't know if they're carrying it themselves, and people have to be very careful of that. What about the expected surge then, Colette Cowan? Because things are busy and probably bound to get busier for you guys there within the hospitals group.
Yes, yeah, certainly. So as a hospital group, we've always had a major emergency plan that we can kick into action at any time. But in the last 2.5 weeks, we have stopped all routine work ourselves, all of our normal business continuity. And we've focused for those 2.5 weeks on a preparedness plan for COVID-19. And we have reskilled our staff. We've done an awful lot of training. We've brought staff in from the other sites for training as well. We have freed up as many beds as possible. We have done our survey of our equipment and our capacity to deal with it, and we are prepared and ready for the surge, however difficult that will be.
Interesting times and tough times ahead as well. In terms of the other hospitals within the group, do you think and do you expect that you'll be utilising the likes of Ennis and Nina and St John's more going forward?
Well, we utilise them already, so they're part of our crisis management team. Patricia Gorman, Director of Nursing there in Ennis Hospital, has been engaged with us consistently over the last few weeks, and the staff have been redeployed in to work with us at UHL site and also training, and they have a very key role because not only have we COVID-19 to deal with, but of course people also get sick for other reasons, and we have to maximise all our sites. Ennis and Nina Hospital actually are in a good place because they have SARI guided single room isolation facilities, and they are part of our surge plan that we can move patients, and that happens. They take a lot of transfers out every day. They've been fantastic, actually.
Well, I think Ennis is one of the first, if not the first, hospital in the country to have that facility. I understand that they have negative pressure rooms and isolation rooms, and I know you have similar insight in UHL as well. In terms of treating patients, are you in a position to tell me how many people are being treated for COVID-19 within the group?
I'm not, no. It's highly confidential that we would only give out that information on the numbers being treated. And that's just to protect the public, and we want to make sure we do that. However, I can say that we have very skilled staff and are highly trained to deal with the patients that come in with any of those concerns or symptoms. So, and the other thing I just want to mention when you talk about infrastructure, and you're correct, Ennis, we're ahead with the 50-bed block, but we are lucky in the Midwest that we have very good infrastructure with facilities to deal with the surge and the capacity that is coming towards us in the coming weeks. So that's we're very glad over that, as you can imagine.
So infrastructure very important, but of course the wonderful staff you have working across the group very important as well, needless to say. Dr. Dennis O'Keefe, good morning to you as well. You are very much at the coalface of all of this, just in terms of the virus itself and how people can contract it, how it manifests itself. We've been told it gets in through the mouth, the nose, the eyes. We need to be very careful with our personal hygiene and our cleaning and so forth as well. Is this something that goes into the blood, goes into the cells, or how does this actual virus take hold and do the damage it's doing?
Yeah, so like viruses, essentially they get transmitted usually in droplets, so by coughing, by sneezing, by getting on your hands and then your hands going to your face. And so that's why minimizing social contact is so important, and because once the droplet gets into the system, they can then get into your cells, particularly in the lungs. The lungs really are the main organ that can be affected. Now, it's very important to stress that for many, many people, the effect is mild, as indeed are many viral infections. So it's just particularly older people, particularly people with other illnesses, they're the people who are the highest risk, because the virus gets into the system, and in the process of the immune system responding, potentially the reaction, if you like, within the lungs in particular can be very extensive, causing damage. So for many people, it's a mild system. It does get into the cells. It can affect the cells in the blood, but in a very mild way. The problem is that in certain at-risk people, it can cause a very significant reaction of the immune system, which can cause significant damage to the lungs. And that's why there are high-risk groups. So the key is that although for young people the risk is extremely low, potentially they're the carriers. And the problem is they have mums and dads, they have grannies and granddads. And the problem is that if young people who are not too unwell carry this, then they can carry it to the high-risk groups that we want to protect. So that's why it's so important for people to go with the rules, isolate, minimal contact unless it's vital, because we're not talking about protecting the younger population, we're talking about protecting the older members of the community, the at-risk members of the community.
Is it fair to say then, Dr. O'Keefe, that people who contract the virus may not require hospitalisation? It may pass, like, if they're resilient enough, that it may pass like a cold or flu, and if they're self-isolated for 2 weeks. So people don't have to panic. Just because you have the sniffles or a cough, you don't necessarily end up in hospital. But no. When it gets more serious, the breathing, the tightness of the chest and so forth, you should definitely make a call at that stage.
Yeah, no, I think that's really, really important, that for many, many people, particularly younger people, healthy people, this potentially is a mild illness. But it's very important that if people are developing symptoms, no matter how mild they are, that they isolate. And they, if they're unsure, they contact their GP and they'll be given appropriate information. You're absolutely right. There are other people who may be more unwell. But the key is that if you're unsure, isolate and contact your GP.
Interesting times ahead, as I say. Finally, if I can get back to yourself, Colette Cowan, going forward then, you're obviously going to have your hands full, but you have your plans in place. You have enough staff, you have enough equipment, or at least you will have if this does get far more serious than it is at the moment.
Yes, Pat, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. It is really important for us to reassure the public that we have our plan in place. We have significant capacity to deal with the surge. We have our equipment in place also, our staff highly trained. We have the most fantastic staff who have just stepped up in the last few weeks even more above and beyond to assist us and deal with this. We are in no doubt that the surge will be exceptionally difficult. I would be overseeing that and making sure that the staff are supported, that they can do their work. But normally our role and function is to assist the public and the unwell, but we are asking the public specifically please observe the social distancing, please wash your hands, and ensure that they stay at home, because they can actually flatten the curve. And I think that's such an important message to get out there, and they can assist us to deal with what we know is coming at us in the next couple of weeks. And if I may, I really would like to thank the community and all of the people, the support that we have got and the emails and calls. We're really humbled by it, and people that have rallied behind us. And my own director of communications worked with the interagencies around a Midwest Together campaign, and I think that's really important that we push that forward and tell the young people that they just need to bear with us, stay in, and stop gathering in crowds. This is significant and can change the face of Ireland, so I really ask for that. And again, thanks to everybody for their support. We have got this, we're trained to do it, and we will do our level best to deal with it when the surge comes.
Okay, thank you both indeed for your time this morning and for all that very important information. And I know, Colette Cowan, that your office and the group are sending out regular updates to the media, and we're passing on information in relation to cancellation of clinics and so forth, and we'll continue to do that. Thank you very much indeed. Colette Cowan is CEO of UL Hospitals Group, and Dr. Dennis O'Keefe, thank you indeed, Dr. Dennis O'Keefe, consultant haematologist and clinical Director of Diagnostics within UL Hospitals Group, and lots of very important information in there as well, and the whole issue of course of social distancing, very important, isolating yourself if you feel you may have the virus. It may pass very, very quickly, but if you have those more severe symptoms, certainly make a call. But not everybody who gets the virus will end up in hospital. I think that's something we have to get out there this morning. People are probably not aware of that, and that it may pass and probably will pass for the majority of people as a cold or flu would normally. But then again, there are those who are vulnerable, and we have to keep that in mind. And the only way we can protect everybody and ourselves is to maintain that policy of social distancing. And well done, and thank you indeed to everybody in the hospitals group for all the work they're doing.